Good morning, everyone, and welcome, as always, to the Sunday Morning Breakfast, Sunday Morning Inspiration Call. We are here, the same time, same place, as always, back in fellowship, and we're continuing to discuss when friends become family. So, again, happy Sunday. Hope that everyone is up, wide awake, ready to start their day. This is the perfect opportunity to also reach out to someone else who may be up, who may not be up at this hour. However, it's still, again, the perfect opportunity just to invite them so that they can join in fellowship with us. Some people don't have that opportunity. So each week, we have it, and it's just important that we extend it to others as we're talking about when friends become family, because as a friend or a family to someone, that involves communication and involves reaching out to them at times when someone else may not be, at times when I know we can oftentimes say that, oh, that was just perfect timing. When someone reaches out to us or shows up right in the nick of time or the phone rings or whatever it may be. So just some things to think about as we continue to encourage all of us to always think of others when we get in fellowship and when, you know, we're ready to share the word of God. But again, when friends become family, it's so important that we remember some key things. We talked about how, you know, it's all about relationship and how important that is in the body of Christ, how important that is just to continue to walk upright and continue to seek God so that we know how to go forward in our friendships, how to go forward in being a friend, and even more so, how to go forward and being reflective of the way that God would want us to live. So being that mirror reflection of Him. And, you know, again, true friendship involves relationships. And it has a lot to do with trust and just holding each other accountable. And these are the attributes that, you know, become the foundation, if you will, in recognizing what allows the relationship to really flourish. Again, God has to be at the forefront. He has to be at the center of it all. And if we remember that, a lot of times we'll realize that, you know, there's a lot of relationships, a lot of different family encounters that we have that are going to be so much more reflective of how God would want us to live and how God would want us to be as far as, you know, being in the body of Christ and just living out the way that we ought to live when it comes to doing those types of things. And, you know, just the way that we think, the things that we say, and also the way that we act. So again, when friends become family, and at this hour, we're going to go ahead and bring in our leader, Mr. Tellius Carr. Good morning, Mr. Carr.
Good morning.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing wonderful. And yourself?
I'm doing wonderful as well. Thank you.
All right. So I do welcome everybody to our morning inspiration. And before we get started, Ms. Latonya, go ahead and open us up with prayer, please.
Our Father and our God, we come before you at this hour to say thank you, dear Lord. We thank you on this morning, dear God, for just waking us up. Dear God, to see a brand new day of life. Dear Father, we thank you for just gifting us this life so that we have been blessed to be called your children, dear God, dear Father, and also for the blessing of you being our Father, dear God. We ask that as we go forward on the call this morning, you would just remove all distractions, dear God, but even more so, help us to be focused so that we could receive all that you have for us, dear Father. And also so that we can continue to go forward, walking in your love, sharing your forgiveness, dear God, and just continue to be a beacon of light in this dark world. Dear God, we thank you for providing this platform, and we thank you for our leader We ask that you will just keep us all connected, dear God, as we continue to go forward and walking in righteousness. We pray and ask all these things in the precious name of your darling son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. All right. So, Ms. Latonya, I'm going to give you the floor for 5 minutes. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you. So, again, our topic this morning and all this past week is when friends become family, and just sharing how we put emphasis on, we talk about friends and family. You know, it's real big on relationship and how relationship must include trust. We must hold each other accountable. And a lot of times I will say, oh, he's a good friend of mine or she's a good friend of mine. And we say that loosely, but are we really taking the time to spend time with that individual or whomever it may be? God calls us a friend. You know, are we spending time with God the way that we should be spending time with God as we talk about being a friend? And it, you know, in friendships, it takes time to get to know each other, time to build, you know, memories, time to invest in each other's growth. So just a few things as we think about that. But I want to share a scripture. It comes from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. And the scripture reads, "So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family." Again, that was Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. So we have to be able to realize that, you know, when we talk about true friendship, even being a friend to God and being a part of God's family, it involves, in other words, you know, we're going to be peculiar where the world is going to stand in a place of familiarity. In other words, everything is familiar to them. When we talk about, you know, being a friend, being a part of God's family, we have to be able to recognize the things that God would want us to recognize. And we have to be in his presence. We have to be in his will to be able to do that. You know, we talked about friendship. Some of us may be able to relate to this, you know, being closer to your spiritual family than you are to most of those in your biological family. And I want to share, you know, some examples of, we talk about when friends become family, some that are, you know, found in the Bible. For instance, in Genesis chapter 18, verses 17 through 33, this is where we read about God sharing his intentions, if you will, with Abraham. And Abraham responded by telling God his thoughts about the situation. But being able to do this, or in other words, God and Abraham being able to do this, it was because, like I just said, we talked about trust, trusting each other, but also having that respect for one another. Another instance was in 1 Samuel chapter 20, and it focuses on the friendship of David and Jonathan. So we've heard of those two individuals, and these two men were men that truly cared for each other. And they had, again, a great trust in one another. So David was basically running for his life from Jonathan's father, Saul, at the time. And Jonathan recognized that David was innocent. So because of the true friendship that they shared, David actually survived Saul's assassination attempts, and he went on to become, the Bible says, one of Israel's greatest kings. So again, we have to realize that real and true friendship involves holding each other accountable. It involves being truthful. It also involves forgiveness. And it involves encouraging one another. It involves just, you know, also that unconditional love. It's not conditional. It's that unconditional love that God provides to us each and every day. And we have to remember that if forgiveness is so important, the Bible tells us that a friend sticks closer than a brother, and that in order for one to be a friend, one must show themselves friendly. So the question that we can ask ourselves as we think about that is, what type of friend are we to others? What type of friend are we to God? In other words, excuse me. As children of God, we are a part of his family, again, as the scripture says, but Or are we living out our lives in a way that's reflective of how God would want us to be a friend to others? But are we being obedient to God? Are we in fellowship with God on a daily basis? Are we in constant communication with Him? Now, some of us may say, well, I have friends that I don't talk to on a daily basis. We go months without talking up to each other, and then we pick right back up where we left off. And be that as it may, you know, God wants us to befriend others. He calls us to be His hands and His feet. And being His hands and feet require that we walk in obedience to Him. A lot of times, we have to allow ourselves to be led by the Spirit. And as I stated earlier, reaching out to others when they may least expect it, or that individual who we may be at odds with, or someone who we may not have reached out to in quite some time. And if we allow ourselves to be led by the Spirit in that way, we'll find oftentimes that when we reach out to those people, they may say, oh, this was perfect, you were right on time, so on and so forth. And it's oftentimes, you know, God allowing us to rekindle a friendship that we had, but even more so, just to realize that it's a lot of times it's not about what we want or how we view things. It's oftentimes being a blessing to another individual. And this is when, you know, a lot of times, you know, you hear people say blood is thicker than water, or blood could not make us any closer. And that's just a saying that the world says, but we are friends with a lot of people, and we've become so close to them that they are like our family. This is who we consider to be our family. Or in other words, we see people who are outside of our biological family much often than we do the ones that are, so on and so forth. But we have to remember that loyalty is key when we talk about being in a true friendship. And without loyalty, the friendships oftentimes won't last. They won't stand up to what God considers to be a true friendship. And how, when we talk about being members of God's family, what that really means. So we have to be in line with those things and what the Word of God says about us being friends, but also being a part of His family. So those were just a few things I wanted to share, and I hope you all ate well.
Thank you so much, Ms. Latonya. So one of the things that you just mentioned.
Yes, sir.
Was a real friendship. And you listed some things about forgiveness and things like that. First and foremost, a real friendship must be founded in God, everybody. If the friendship is not founded in God, it is not real. The reason why I say this, as we wake up this morning, head to church, get our praise on, all that other good stuff. What should we be doing every day, right?
Yeah.
We start to redefine what a friend is to fit our immediate stance, because we want people to put us in our feel-good moment. But some of the best friends that you have are some of the people that you hate, simply because you're operating at the moment in emotion outside of God, and they're operating with a calm head inside of God, and you're not going to hear the answer you want. Even little kids are the epitome of what heaven and God is versus emotion and flesh. Because as soon as a little kid don't get what they want, what they tell their parents? You're not my friend no more.
Not. Yes, they do.
If that be the little child, what about the little child in us that's called the spirit that has yet to grow? We just don't open our mouth and say it. But see, now that we're old enough to move around and not be in somebody's presence, we don't have to say it. It's unspoken. We do it. See, we're not friends with people who correct us in God. Let me say it again.
Right.
We're not friends. How can you be friends with somebody who corrects you in God when you're not in God? Simply because God is not in you. Don't you know you can be in something and it not affect you? The Bible says to be in the world but not of the world. So you can be in the world by his instruction and not of it. You know that? In other words, you also can be in God. Woo, boy. Y'all got to catch it this morning. I'm starting already. You got to be in. See, watch this. If God says to be in the world but not of the world, I'm talking about friendships here, when friends become family. God says to be in the world but not of the world. Let me say it again. God says to be in the world but not of the world. Don't you know you have Daniel's son, Satan, who was taught by God. He's going to take exactly what the Bible says he emulates. He comes like a spirit of light. He's going to take exactly what the Word says and going to flip it. So if God says to be in the world but not of the world, Satan's going to say it's okay to be in God as long as God not in you. Woo!
Yes, sir.
I better catch this morning now. Satan will manipulate you. Because let me show you all the friendship that I'm talking about. All the first thing that you're going to do to your friends, not even to those type of friends. Because it's okay if our friends, but the one that you might try and date and marry, do you go to church? All you asking them is, are they in God? But you never ask them, was God in them? As a matter of fact, you don't have to ask somebody if God is in them. Just check out the way the lifestyle is. But see, you may miss something if you don't have that same lifestyle in you.
Amen.
Trying to help us this morning, huh?
Yes, sir.
The Bible says to be in the world but not of the world. Satan will literally take what God said and reverse it for his kingdom. So he will say, be in God but not of God. Do you not understand he's willing to give to gain? He's willing to give you the fact that you're in God. He just don't want God to be in you.
Right.
Now, anybody want to press star 5 and ask me how is that possible? Anybody questioning that? Please. Anybody? As a matter of fact, let me get some feedback from you guys this morning. It's Wanda. Miss Wanda, if you have press star 5, if you don't, because I want to get a little feedback from Miss Wanda. Explain that one to me. I'm just wanting to get a little feedback and make sure everybody up. You don't need no Sunday morning breakfast coffee. This is our coffee.
Amen. Yes, indeed. She's here, Mr. Carr. Good morning, Ms. Warren.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine. How are you?
No, I had my line still muted on my end. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I know you're getting up a little bit. You've been counting them sheep. How many you counted? Don't worry about that. But look. So when we say to be in God, faith is okay with that. But what does it possibly mean? Is it possible to be in God and not have God in you?
Yes, it's very well possible. You can be in God and not have God in you.
Mm-hmm.
People go to church every Sunday or 5 or 6 days a week and still not have God in them. They're just operating in the church, but then or whatever their religion is, but they're not. It's not in them.
Y'all, in other words, let me tell you what she just said. Let me translate. I'm the translator. She said. What John the Baptist says, he said, I baptize you in the water. He's going to baptize you in the spirit and fire. Boy, it's different. Just because you wet don't mean that you clean. Just because you, I'm trying to tell you. Y'all see it?
Yes, sir.
That's different.
Yeah.
Just because you have been born don't mean that you have been born again. There's a difference. Don't you know that you can be in a relationship, but the relationship not be in you because every chance you get, you'll deny it. Nope, we're just together. That's it. See, now I got to make it personal for people to understand. Oh, that's right. He was in me, but not into me. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. So don't you know you can be in God, but not God in you?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you can deny God access. When God does not have his way in your life, God is not in you. How can somebody not have the access and be in you? This is why, as a friend, you got to be careful by accepting this rhetoric that says, but God going to give me the desires of my heart. See, that means, watch what I'm about to tell you, because I don't want to ruin nobody's day, but I got to tell you the truth as a friend. All that means, Mr. Carter, that's about, all that means is I want what I want from God. But if you read the whole scripture and God be in you and not you, just in God. See, you being in God, you read the scripture. But God being in you, that means you understood the scripture because you studied it. If you go ahead and read the whole scripture, you'll find that it says to delight yourself in the Lord. Then God will give you the desires of your heart. To delight yourself in the Lord means that I operate in faith. And when I operate in faith, that don't mean that it stops at my desires. In other words, my desires is whatever he wants me with. Now my verb has changed to a list something like this. God, have your way.
Yes,
that is my desire. You see?
Yes, sir.
We hear Mr. DJ speak on Sundays all the time, when friends become family. The reason why a lot of us like Mr. DJ is because Mr. DJ associated with what we say. But let Mr. DJ start talking hard talk, that talk that we're not familiar with. Boy, let's see how many friends Mr. DJ can have.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. I don't think y'all hear me now. We like Mr. DJ because Mr. DJ speaks along the lines of what we're familiar with. It's called familiar spirits, y'all. The reason why I'm bringing up familiar spirits is because of this. You got to be careful what you befriend. As soon as someone starts speaking straight hard talk, I'm talking about legit talk in terms of not wavering and playing and being funny, then it's boring to us.
Right.
It's only boring to those who are not familiar with the real. Because I say this and I say this openly and say it again. Let's see how much play you was anybody in a joking mood with Hurricane Katrina?
No, sir.
Somebody tried to repossess your car. Was anybody in a joking mood when one of your family members took ill? Was anybody joking then? See, what happens is we want the serious moments when things get serious. See, when you become friends, see, it should be serious from the giddy-up. And we'll say that God has a sense of humor. How you know that God has a sense of humor when he's not in you?
Mm. Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
You read up on that? Huh? No, we want God. We try and mold God the way we want to mold God, only because we know that we are not serious, so we try and bring God down notches to say, oh, he has a sense of humor. Well, tell me the joke that he said when you had a demon on your back. Tell me. I want to hear the joke he said.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me the doctor that has a sense of humor when he's in there performing surgery. It ain't no playtime.
Amen.
Now, somebody might get mad and say, but God does have a sense of humor. He does not have a sense of humor when it comes to saving people's souls. And that's a daily, by the minute, by the second thing. What is funny about that? This is playing for keeps, people. Jesus, God does not take no vacation. Now, only a man in history doesn't get a day off. God's sense of humor is not what you think it is. Remember, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. It is not the same as what we equate it to be. Typically, we ask people, do they have a sense of humor? When we want them, we don't want them to be so serious. But what God is doing, we can't even comprehend.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't his friends know that? Shouldn't his family know that?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Because the very moment, see, just like the word jealous, we serve a jealous God. You cannot take your natural, immoral thoughts and put the definition of jealousy on what God is. He's a jealous God, but not according to their definition. Two totally different things, it means. So also, sense of humor is two totally different things. You know that?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Clearly, the Bible says to befriend the world is to be an enemy of God. To be, in other words, we okay with having friends that have friends that we don't like, but God is not okay with that.
Mm.
Let me say this again. We can make this very well clear. Okay? Look up the scripture real quick, Miss LaTanya, and give it to him. The Bible says to befriend the world is to be an enemy of God. In other words, when you agree with the things of the world, when you agree with the lifestyle that God hates, and you become friends with it, because the Bible says, how can two walk together lest they be in agreement? In other words, we can play the game like we God's friend, but how are we God's? We God's friend by theory. I love God and I have faith in God. But here's the thing. When the lifestyle is presented to you, i.e. Jesus, i.e. people around you that walk in God, why are you not their friends? Why are our friends the total polar opposite? Well, Mr. Carr, I thought we were supposed to, you know, win the loss. He said to win them, not befriend them.
Amen.
Well, hold on, Mr. Carr, I'm confused. Because the Bible said to pursue peace. Pursuing peace don't mean that you're going to be friends.
Yes, sir.
Come on, y'all. We play this game. Y'all know that? Because we want to be friends that which we want to be friend only because we are familiar with it. Only because it represents us. It represents our thought patterns. Yeah, let me go get Wanda. She, boy, that thing's silly. You know why? Because you like silly.
Mm-hmm.
That's why.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But if it was something that you didn't like, you wouldn't be around it. Now, would you?
No, sir.
You get tired of negative people? That's why you don't have no negative friends around you. Okay?
Mm.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. You get tired of people that talk a lot? That's why you don't have people that talk a lot around you. Uh-huh.
Yes,
there
sir.
I go.
Yes.
So when you get tired of God, you don't have people who really have God in them around you. Because from the abundance of the heart, the abundance of what's in you is going to come out through your mouth. You know all they do is talk about God. You just in God, but God is in them. There's
yes.
a difference. There's a difference, people. I said there's a difference. Oh, yeah. Huh? Oh, yeah. Don't you know? Don't you know? Uh-huh. You can literally, you can literally be in something and it not be in you. Because we can be in the world, but the world not in us. Huh. What the scripture said, to be friends, what scripture is that, Mrs. Song?
The scripture is James chapter 4, verse 4. And the scripture reads, you adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God.
He said, you adulterers. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Miss Wan, adultery, that's a marriage thing. So he's saying that you really, you want to be a friend. Now we married, we won. I'm married to the back. Oh, you. Oh, that's your people. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because you friends with something, you tend to walk the same way it walks. That don't mean that y'all have to have the same talk, but y'all going in the same direction.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all know that?
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Come on, good morning, inspiration. What's going on? Turn that off in your car. It's better than that now.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is.
Huh? Proverbs 22:24-25. Proverbs chapter 22, write it down, verses 24 through 25. The Bible says, do not make friends. I say, do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Well, I'll be. Do not associate with any, with one easily angered. Well, I'll be. Or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. Well, I'll be. Here's the problem with that. But Mr. Carr, aren't you hot-tempered? That's the problem with it right there. The world cannot define what hot-tempered is. My God.
Amen.
Let me say this again. Hot-tempered to a baby is when I don't get my way. But the same hot-tempered Mr. Carr, he's passionate when he's speaking the things of God. Go ahead with your bad self. You just called your mama, your auntie, your uncle, your daddy, everybody getting on phone. But as soon as Mr. Carr said something you don't agree with, girl, he just blew up. Now he talked the same way. But see, now he's hot-tempered when your flesh don't agree with it. You better make sure you define what's hot-tempered now. Oh, my God, my God. In other words, if you're outside of God, you don't know how to properly think, get alone, define something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
I'm trying to tell somebody something. Because the same person that y'all think I'm telling a lie on this phone will say that Jesus turned over the temple, them chairs and tables in the temple. That's not a man of God. When you outside of God, you see how you view things? Let me say it again. When you outside of God, you see how you view things? When God is outside of you, see how you view things? You know why? Because it doesn't justify anything that you are. So, of course, I don't care. It's just like being on a sports team. No matter what Steph Curry and Klay Thompson do, people who like the Warriors always going to view and defend anything that they do. But anybody who don't like the Warriors, they'll say, look at them. Look at them. They don't even have facial hair. Anything that they can find in a rift, they're going to say about it. Hello, somebody.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Y'all follow? Wake up now. Wake up. Don't be under that tree sleeping when Jesus said get up.
Yes, indeed.
When friends become family. Because the world are trying and be absolutely backwards.
Right.
Way hot-tempered. They always get angry. If somebody is getting angry at sin, well, they shouldn't have to do it like that. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. Well, hold on. Hold on, Miss Swan. Now, hold on. You mean to tell me that the doctor in there playing with that disease that's trying to take your loved one out? Or do you want that doctor to be aggressive? Now, hold on.
I need him to be aggressive, sir.
Now, hold on. So just because you're not laying on the table, you don't think something's trying to take you out? Now, hold on, People that lied on your name, slandered your name, and you had court that and lied and got you, you may be facing 25 years to life. You want somebody who can be passive represent you? Now, hold on. It's mighty funny based on how we view, watch this, how we view what we're going through. It's mighty funny how we view that. And we equate it to what we think should be tempered or should be measured unto us in aggression and not. In other words, when you say something, now that's a foul, you know, well, man, get the F out of my house. Somebody say, what did you say? Well, golly, mama, you ain't had to be like that. I thought we was cool, we was friends like that. You ain't got to get all hot tempered. Now, how did you say mama got a hot temper when she don't allow that spirit in her house? You done just brought that spirit in her house. She has every right to refute it, and not in the manner that you think it should be refuted.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
It's just mighty funny how the world will say, well, I mean, I understand you're trying to bring God, but you ain't have to be aggressive like that. Well, see, you're not at a point in your life to where you know how to measure anything, get along the spirit of God. You know how many people become angry with God? Because they just didn't think that God should have to do what he did? He didn't have to do that?
Yeah.
Who are you to tell God that? But when you're a friend of God, you understand that as a friend, he's the man, and I let my friend have his way. Y'all know that?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
This is important, huh? Let's get to another scripture right quick. Hold on. Let me get to another scripture. First Corinthians 15:33. We're talking about friendships. When friends become family, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. We're talking about this side of it this morning. You got to kiss the other side tonight. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Anybody got that? Anybody want to read this? Let me see if Miss Juan got it. You know I'm a mess with her tomorrow. Miss Juan look like she ain't have her little point in Brooklyn. What you got, Miss Juan? Google it on your phone real quickly. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Y'all write it down. 1 Corinthians 15:33.
Okay. Do not mislead. Bad company corrupts good character.
Do not be misled. In other words, don't be fooled. The bad company you hanging around will corrupt your good character. Boy, the Bible's so good when it talks about friendship. Well, I mean, they hang around me or I hang around them, but they don't mean I'm like them. Here's the thing about it. Watch what I'm about to tell you. Bad company, if you are in God, and God is in you. Remember the Bible said, if you abide in my word, and my word abide in you. See the difference? He ain't separate the two. Because you can abide in God's word and still not be in God.
That's right.
Do you not understand? Well, you know, that's just my friends. We don't think like, talk like, act like. So how y'all friends? What do y'all have in common then? Is the next question.
Yeah.
Because if you got something in common, and, I mean, if you don't have nothing in common, and y'all still friends, you're making the Bible a lie. You're calling God a lie. Because he said, how, is a question, can two walk together unless they be in agreement? So what is it that y'all agree on? Well, we both chasing money. We about that dollar. We about that business. We ain't going to call it chasing money because we know that's not, the chasing money is not in God. So we both do business stuff.
Right.
But if it's not God's stuff first, how far would that friendship go?
Yeah.
How are you going to be chasing money or doing business outside of God, which is going to lead to corruption?
Right.
Does that make sense, people?
Yes, it does.
The Bible says, don't be fooled. Don't be misled. Bad company corrupt good character. Now, don't be fooled. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Here's the thing. When you and God, you know how people say, what the friends say when we was younger? What our friends say? Lord, they go past. Y'all try to move around. And if it wasn't your friend, see, what I'm saying is, when you are in God, and the God is in you, what tends to happen is your words start to change. Your thoughts start to change. Your lifestyle starts to change. So in other words, it's just like somebody being married. They're going to be like, what happened to the old you? In other words, they will not be around. Bad company will not be around the things of God until they need the things of God.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
you ever notice how when God got in you, not just you in God, but when God got in you, the same friends you had yesterday is not your friends today. But what happens is they never said they wasn't your friend. They just stopped hanging around. What happens is when you come reflective, being a mirror, a spitting image of the God that you say you serve, now, if they reject him, they reject you. Now, how is it that you can be a friend with something that don't like God? Why are they not in God's face? How can they be? See, we okay with having a friendship that says, Latonya, shoot, that's you and Swan. That's y'all issue. But what you got going on today? You know how many times I've had that talk with my family?
Yes.
Don't know. Man, y'all want to hear something? I'm talking about some inspirational call. You know how many people, or somebody don't want to hear this morning, but I'm going to wake you up. It's cool. You know how many people are okay with a divided family?
Yeah.
And I ain't talking about divided natural. I'm talking about divided spiritual. So when it's divided spiritual, it is divided natural. You know how many people, huh? Not speaking on your behalf, but speaking on God's behalf. Yeah. You know that? You know how many parents will play the game, but they see their kids not even communicating in their own home? Y'all know that? And not interacting. So the parent will speak with this one as if nothing going on, and that one as if nothing going on. Won't you get to the root of the issue? See where God is not valid in somebody's life. See where God is vacant in somebody's life. But how is it that you can see that and not address it? You straddle on the fence, right? I thought the Bible said that iron sharpens iron, but only friends want to be sharpened. Only friends know this, huh? Y'all didn't catch what I just said? Okay, well, let me show you what I just said in language. It's just like you having a friend who know it's three people in the circle. You, A, and then B. You, A, and B. You. You, the individual. There's a friend A and there's a friend B. Friend A is playing both you and B. Because friend A, you and B not cool. B did something crazy. You was justified. They're not friends. But friend A wants to keep the friendship with you and the friendship with B. But I mean, they must have got to be two-faced. Because, see, they got to be. They know what's going on. And the Bible says, when you see your brother in error, go to them in love and restore them, lest ye be tempted and fail. In other words, when friend A get the message, they say, hold on, I don't have nothing to do with that. That's between y'all. What kind of friend is that? If you would lay down your life, the Bible says a true friend, huh? No, there's no greater friend that wouldn't sacrifice for, listen, he sacrificed his life. So you know when God went, when Jesus went, he went on behalf of God. In other words, if you don't like God, you don't like me, because we are one. We are connected. That's how strong the friendship is. This is how we talk about Peter, but what about you is my question. How many times have you denied your friend that is correct? Or do you even know what correct is? I don't think y'all hear me. Do you even know what correct is? You sitting up there seeing two friends go at it. Either they get the situation right. See, some people take the low road. But you know what? I'm just walking away from both of y'all. See, that is so not of God. When does God walk away from two people when one of them is upright in him? Tell me that, please. That means you would have no chance of going to heaven when you upright in God, because he's saying, no, y'all can't get along. So I'm just going to walk away. See, we take the low road. We take the Satan road. In other words, we never check the one who was outside of God.
That's right.
Now, the Bible says, do not do anything out of selfish ambition and gain. Look at how the world come around full circle. In other words, the only reason why you didn't offend friend B is because you got friend B got something that you want. And that means you're not in God, because if God is not what you want, so you are corrupt too. This is why you and friend B get along.
That's right.
Well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm trying to help somebody. Because
yes, sir.
When you and God, the Bible says, come out from amongst them. Who is them? The people who are not friends with God. But we play the same game that we play with God, we play with people. So we can see two people at odds, and we will not address what is wrong. The wrong one. You know why? Because we don't know how to address wrong, because we never addressed it in our life in the first place.
That's right.
So friend A would do better not dealing with either of you and just leaving a pheromone that says peace. That's all. Because the Bible says to pursue peace with everybody. That's all they can do. Don't you compromise your standards. The Bible says the uncompromising word of God. In other words, if the friendship would never be founded in God, we would never have one.
That's right.
A
lot of people have friends for the sake of having a warm body and just to be popular. This is why Facebook, you have more people on your friends list than you even know. You don't even know all them people.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Hmm? You don't know them people?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Now, if that's Facebook in your life, you don't know all them people. You be hugging people. Hey, girl, how you doing? What up, dude? What up? I'm going to hit your back line.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I ain't never say a time later, but I say later. You do what you
yes, mean. Lord.
Y'all follow me?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Okay? And this is not the friendship that God called. This is not the type of friend that God calls us to be. Don't you know if you actually knew? See, I'm telling you, friend you, the one that's in God, don't worry about what B or A do. See, A is the one who's neutral. Neutral typically don't want to make a decision. But the Bible says, choose ye this day. So when friend A don't want to make a decision, you make a decision for them.
Mm-hmm.
They heard me. But Mr. Carr, the Bible said that we should not be alone. You're not. He's going to send you exactly what you need. Maybe he's forcing you to push friend A out the way because they think just like friend B. They're just not bold enough to tell you.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
They're straddling the fence. They're straddling the fence. I've seen family members know what is wrong, tell me what is wrong, but won't relay that to the other person. Do not fool with me then. You got to twist it. Because you're a double talker. Two-faced. Because if you can say it once, say it again. Have the same energy you told to me, tell it to them. Help them in God. Well, I've told them. How you told them and they still comfortable with talking to you? How? You lying. I don't think y'all hear me.
Yeah.
If you go and speak. Watch this now. Remember I talked about? If you go and speak to. Talking about friendship, for, and with. You go to someone on God's behalf. You're speaking with them for your friend God. And you're speaking for him because he's your friend. If they reject him, shouldn't it be the same outcome? My God.
Yes.
My
yes,
God,
sir.
My God, my God. So how are they comfortable with talking with you? Even the people in the world got it down pat. I ain't mad at what they said about me. I'm just surprised. I'm really concerned. I'm questioning the fact that they were so comfortable talking to you about me.
Yes, indeed.
You know
yes,
why?
Sir.
Because you don't represent what the friendship is about or supposed to be about. See, in other words, if you don't like God, you won't like me because I'm about to mirror and emulate exactly what he just said. See, when the friendship is thick tight, you know just like talking to me is just like talking to him. You know that, right? You know what you tell me, I'm going to go right back and tell him. I'm telling you to your face, I'm going to tell God. And I'm going to tell you exactly what he says because we friends like that. See, a true friend don't bend or bow. Oh, boy, boy. Ain't this interesting?
Yes.
Ain't this interesting? Mr. Carr on his phone tearing up friendship. No, Mr. Carr is giving you an insight of what is a friend and what isn't. Maybe if you didn't know in the first place, you may not be the one that was a friend because when you're a friend in God, you know what friendship should look like.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Huh? But you okay with them straddling the fence? You know why? Because you straddled the fence. We have never made a decision whose side we're going to be on. So not to offend nobody, we're just going to say, I don't have nothing to do with that. Now, you're totally going against the friendship and the word of God. Didn't he clearly say, when you see error, when you see your brother in error, go to them in love and restore them? So where's the restoration? Maybe they need to be restoring you. We're talking about friendships, right?
Right. Right.
Huh? And some people cool with their type of friendship, and they rewrite the Bible. This is why you see so many different opinions out there. When you see an opinion, you see somebody trying to rewrite the Bible. Why have an opinion when you got the truth in front of you? I'm sorry, we didn't take the time to study the truth. All we did was read it. I'm going to say that again. When you see somebody's opinion, or when you see somebody I feel like, all they're saying is my friendship with God is not strong enough for me to remember what he said. That's all they're saying. Because when the friendship is so strong and the friendship overtakes you, in other words, the friendship is in you, and you're not just in a friendship, but the friendship is now in you, what you're going to start to recite is the things that you know. All I know is my friendship. So let me tell you something, said the Lord. Somebody done said, well, you don't got to know the Bible to, you know, be astute. I don't know the Bible like you. Tell me then, if you don't know the Bible, you don't know God because he is his word. How you got a friendship with somebody you don't know? Because, oh, hold on, I want to check you at your words now. Because your words, your earthly words, come on down, your son. Remember, God created you. Remember, Mr. Miyagi created you, Satan. So why you giving people this information and they repeating it? Because you only going to repeat what you're around. Now, watch this.
Mm-hmm.
You said you don't know God. You don't have to know God. Because you said you don't have to know the Bible. Now, how you got a friendship with something you don't know? Because don't you also say, you don't know me. You don't know me like that. So have that same energy in the face of God. Hmm. But if you was wise and, you know, one who was studious, meaning studied your friend, you would know that your friend says, be careful how you entertain strangers, because you never know when you entertain an angel. You would know that, right? As a friend, right?
Yes, God, right.
You would know your friend's voice. Well, I don't know how to hear God. So how he your friend and you don't know his voice?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I can
yes,
play on.
Yeah, yeah, what y'all doing?
Mm-hmm. Well, good day, you might. Oh, yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, somebody, whoever know me, you know that's me playing. In other words, the reason why we don't know God's voice is how much of a friend are we to him? How much you hang around your friend? Let's go ahead and pray, Ms. Latonya.
Our Father and our God, we come before you once again on this morning to say thank you, dear Father. We thank you for your word that you have provided to us on this morning for inspiring us, dear God. We ask that you will just help us to go forward on this day and even in the days ahead just to take what we've learned, dear God, and apply it to our lives. Help others who may be struggling, dear God. Help others who may have fallen away from you, dear God. Help us to reach out to them to inspire them in the way that you inspire us, dear God. We thank you for just continuing to shower us with your love, dear God, to impart your grace and your mercy within us, dear God. We ask that you would just help us to continue to grow in the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding of you and also of your word. We thank you for this ministry, dear God, and we thank you for our leader. We thank you for the friendships that have developed, dear God, and even for the ones that are past and the ones that we're going to develop, dear God. We thank you in advance for everything because we know that everything that you do is well done. And if you allow it to cross our path, dear God, to be a part of our life, we know that there's a purpose and a plan. We thank you. We praise you. In the precious name of your darling son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And let me tell y'all this because I really have to tell y'all. Okay. It is just revelation word. Because these are real-life situations. So those who have to get off the phone, I understand, call in this evening. But those who can remain for about 3 more minutes. Now, this is real-life stuff that has happened based on friendships. Y'all want to see something? Watch this.
Yes, sir.
Real life, this is no fabrication, no filter.
Mm-hmm.
On my left friendship, I have seen it with friends of friends. And it'd be so blatant, I just shake my head. Let me put it out there, Miss Swan. Miss Swan.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mother doesn't know me, I know you.
Mm-hmm.
Hypothetically speaking, I'm talking, y'all, so don't take this and run with it talking about Lord. But these are real life situations. Because that's a phone ministry. That's phone ministry. Ain't no phone ministry, baby. It is ministry. People picking up trash on the back of that trash truck. That is ministry. See, when you're a friend of God, you view it the way that God views it. Somebody spitting in mud, that is ministry. Somebody leading somebody through a Red Sea, that is ministry. See, I'm just saying. I want to put it out there. But your mama don't mow me, your mama, this, that, and other. Your mama become angered because tradition is being broken. I'm just hypothetically speaking. Mm-hmm. Your mama don't like me. It doesn't matter. I don't use the words, but she don't know me. It doesn't even matter about that because people don't know about it. Because they don't like what they stand for or what they represent. Now, your mama don't know me and don't like me, but my mama don't know you and don't like you. Now, me being a weak friend to God but a good son, I know you have done my mother nothing, and even if you had, you try and bridge and mend those gaps. But I'm Swan's friend, somebody, you know, who I'm cool with, but my mom not cool with, but I'm straddling the fence. But that's my mom. It's my excuse. Don't you know you can honor something and not be pleased with them?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. You got to make it simple for something. Cool. You honoring your marriage, although you're not pleased with it, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You honoring your kids that you have, although you're not always pleased with them, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're still at that job that you disappointed about and you waiting on God, but you're not pleased with it. You still honor because you get up and go, don't you?
Yes.
Yes,
so let me ask that question again so we can get a better answer this time. Don't you know you can honor something and not be pleased with it?
Mm. Yes,
uh-huh.
Indeed.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. I'm just trying to say it, Swan. So, Mr. Carr plays a game. Because I don't want to offend my mama because I'm a mama's boy. And I don't want to offend Swan because that's my home girl. But I know they don't like each other, so I'm going to try and keep them apart as long as I can.
Huh?
So I'm never going to talk about Swan in front of my mama. And I'm never going to talk about my mama in front of Swan. Y'all better hear me.
Well.
Now, Swan did my mama nothing wrong. Huh? What kind of friend am I to Swan when I know my mama talks about her or doesn't like her? She don't talk about her no more, but she doesn't like her. What kind of friend am I to Swan when I know she has done nothing wrong? Even if she did do something wrong, we do wrong all the time to God. But he still accepts us. Because you know when people talk about, well, you ain't never give me nothing, you know, you ain't do nothing wrong to me yet. You didn't give me a reason. But did you give God a reason? Yes, you have. So chill out with that. Chill out with that. But y'all see where I'm getting at with this? So my mama doesn't like Swan because Swan, what she represents. Now, Swan is the one in God. Swan is the one with God in her. But my mama's just the one in God. She's the one that go to church, bust it wide open. But that don't mean God in her. Because how can God be in her and she has such divisive ways? Well, everybody make a mistake, Carr, Mr. Carr, but when are you going to get it right? I thought that love covers a multitude of sin. When are we going to get it right, though? So what kind of teaching can she do? Is she the doctor or is she the patient? It seems like the patient. So when you're the patient, that means you're in the doctor's office. The doctor's office is not in you because the doctor got the power. That means he's the one that got the information to heal. So when you are the patient, you're just in it. It's not in you.
Yeah.
Follow me? So so my mama has a problem with Swan. Swan doesn't have a problem with my mama. I'm a mama's boy, so I just keep them apart. I know my mama don't like Swan. That's why I don't ever bring Swan around. I don't ever talk about Swan. And it's not that Swan don't like my mama. It's just there. So how much of a friend am I to Swan, everybody? Is that a good friendship? Please help.
No, sir.
No, sir.
That's not a good friendship. I'm not a true friend of Swan. Okay,
no.
Let me flip that. Swan mama doesn't like Mr. Carr. Swan is a friend to Mr. Carr, but she's a mama's girl. Mama raised her and her siblings. That's it. Mama done said something bad about Mr. Carr. Mr. Carr ain't do nothing wrong. Same scenario. The difference, though, is Swan says, Mama, I love you, but I can't let you rock like that. It ain't going to happen. Not on my clock. In other words, that's still Swan mama, but Swan never entertains nor goes around that, simply because what she stands. It's not that she's defending Mr. Carr, she's defending God and what's right. Which one is the good friend and which one is a friend you might be, I don't know about? Is Swan a good friend?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Y'all don't have to be so hesitant. Is she or is she not?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Y'all know I'm making this real life. That's why we slow to answer. Y'all know that? Y'all know that?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all know why? Because we're not familiar with doing or being a friend to God. And the Bible said those who worship me in spirit and in truth. In other words, when you get off your knees and praying, you got to have that same energy with what you do on a daily. If you're going to cut off spirits, you better cut off the spirits in the natural too, even if it come from mom or daddy, sister or brother. Now watch this. Mr. Carl was the mama's boy, and he's straddling the fence. Miss Swan was the mama's girl, but she said, "Mama, this is on hold. I can't do this." Now watch this. Which mama do you think would find God the quickest? Swan's mama, who Swan cut off and say, "You still my mama, but I can't tolerate that?" Or Mr. Carr's mama, who he's just condoning? Which mama would find God the quickest, is my question.
Swan.
Don't you know, when you don't compromise, you allow God to do his work? See, some of us have little side deals that we don't tell people about, and the side deal be because mama doing something for me, my child, or giving me a place to stay, or giving me money. This is the reason why. And they will remind you, too. They will remind you by pulling away from you. And so, in other words, mama and daddy becomes your idol, your God. You don't trust the one in heaven. Well, you're right. See, it gets real. If you're going to call yourself a Christian, before you call yourself a Christian, be prepared. Don't call yourself a Christian when you're not about that life. Because everything that says is Satan going to check you. He going to chimp check you. And just like Barack becoming president, some people got mad, and that's why they're so mad they gave it to a vicious beast now. In other words, y'all wanted, I gave, y'all got that one, but I'm going to make it so hard that you never want it again. Satan going to make it so hard that you never call yourself a Christian again. Now what? And that's when they pull back your resources. But I thought God was your resource. I thought he was your friend. So we would actually muzzle our mouth to make sure we still get a house, help, and everything else that we want. In other words, we're not even giving an honest friendship, Swan. We're not giving an honest friendship because we got ulterior motives, and we would defend them ulterior motives tooth and nail. We'll say, well, that's my mom. It's more than that. Y'all got some idea going on. Because even Jesus said, who's my mother? Who's my brother? So one parent is going to find God quicker, all because somebody said, nope, I'm not going to keep on giving you that which is of God, which you don't deserve right now. And watch this. Somebody might say, well, hold on, you always deserve, you do, but you don't deserve my presence. Didn't I just say people should have, we give people total access to us at all times?
Yeah.
Wrong thing, right? Who's outside of God? The wrong thing, right? Y'all follow me?
Yes.
This is the problem in the world today. And I address those issues. You got a lot of teachers and preachers and reverends and bishops, they will not address it because somebody, see, the Bible says, owe no man nothing. See, when the building paid for, I'm going to tell you the truth. So if you leave, you ain't hurting this church. We good. You know how many people that would not touch anything because mom and daddy are involved? And you know how many families are going to ruin because the teacher won't address them? Because they pay too much in tithes? So I'm not going to say nothing to them? Hello?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And if you say something wrong to them, just like that baby, we ain't friends no more, mentality comes into play. Well, guess what? I would rather not be your friend as long as God is. So I'm going to give you God. And if you're mad at me for giving you God, well, we just going to be at odds then. Now, can you tell your mama that? Can you tell your daddy that? Can anybody tell you that? How is it that you can condone it? And yes, you are condoning it when you never addressed it. And while I didn't address it, Mr. Carr, how are you still around it? Because if you're so devout and strong in God, y'all would never be around each other. Something got to give. Yeah, let me say this again. You can't put, even the fish got it. You can't put a beta fish in there with an aggressive fish. That thing will eat it alive.
That's right.
So how can you call it fish? Oh, my God. Look, I had to go to an example of fish to get people to understand.
Yeah.
Ain't there something? Even the fish understand that. You know the only people say we can't coexist are the ones outside of God? Only because they straddle the fence, they got one foot in God and one foot in the world. In other words, it feels good to be in God and also feel good to get benefit of the doubt outside of God.
Yeah.
Huh? Because if we was a man enough, Mr. Carr, wouldn't you tell your mama right from wrong? Just because she birthed you don't mean that you can't tell mama the truth. In a respectful
okay.
way.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, sometimes we don't even see them falling over a cliff. But many times we see them falling over a cliff. In other words, the friendship with God is broken. And we still let them fall over the cliff. I'm over the cliff. All because we don't want to offend them and correct them. My God. But
mm-hmm.
Mr. Carr, what do you do when you have corrected it? Be consistent. And eventually what's going to happen is either you're going to move around or they're going to move around.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't want that to happen because we want God to work right now. We don't want an outcome that we don't want to see. Hmm? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You have heard it. You have heard the truth. Now tell me, am I lying? Is that not going on today in this world? Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah. It's going on. Oh, yeah. And you letting Satan mess up a friendship. Not between you and the individual. The friendship should never be about you and the individual. The friendship should always be about you and God and them and God. And then when the two of you meet, y'all met through God. My God.
Yes, sir.
If God didn't introduce the both of y'all, y'all better get it right. Something ain't right with that. See, the only friends we should have is because God introduced us. If God didn't introduce us, why are y'all friends? You know, the only reason why I know Swan is through Ms. Shabri. Well, sure, that's our foundation. If God didn't introduce you, why are you friends? But, Mr. Carr, God won't introduce you. Yes, he will. It's called a ram in the bush. You may not think he brought y'all together, but he did.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Huh? And since iron sharpens iron, when you going to sharpen mom or daddy?
Exactly.
Have a great morning, okay? We'll see y'all later on this evening at 8 p.m. Y'all have a great morning.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.